Hello, listeners. My name is Lukman Yusuf, and welcome to Wasabi Africa, the podcast that takes you on a memorable journey through the diverse and dynamic continent of Africa. Today commences the beginning of a 10-episode series taking you through a remarkable journey on Africa's venture capital and entrepreneurial landscape. Our first series explores the history of venture capital in Africa. People who grew up in the United Arab Emirates in the early 1990s will be happy to share how the number of tall skyscrapers in the major cities of the Emirates has increased dramatically. The fast rise to popularity and impact of venture capital companies in Africa and their part in reshaping the startup ecosystem of the continent can be described with the same sense of astonishment and impressiveness. Actually, it wasn't always like this. The advent of venture capital can be dated to the middle of the 1980s, when a few global venture capital firms developed an interest in and began funding African entrepreneurs. Before venture capital firms started to appear in Africa, startups and business owners had few options for raising money. African firms received financing from development finance institutions like the African Development Bank and the International Finance Corporation of the World Bank, with the purpose of fostering economic growth and eradicating poverty. However, these institutions frequently had stringent requirements regarding governance, financial performance, and social impact, and tended to concentrate on larger, more established businesses. Most of the VC companies that later spearheaded the VC revolution in Africa were based in industrialized nations like the United States and continents like Europe. Because of its abundance of natural and human resources, many companies saw Africa as an unexplored market with tremendous growth potential. They saw that the urgent social and economic problems facing the continent were motivating African entrepreneurs to create groundbreaking solutions, and they believed that these ideas might generate sizable returns for investors. In addition to providing an opportunity to encourage entrepreneurship and economic growth on the continent, these VC firms saw investing in Africa as a way to diversify their portfolios. These companies could lower their risk exposure in established economies, which had grown more volatile in the wake of the past financial crisis, by making investments in emerging continents like Africa. Despite the compelling arguments in favor of funding Africa's entrepreneurial ecosystem, many VC firms were initially hesitant due to a lack of knowledge or experience regarding the continent's distinct business climate. In addition, entrepreneurs looking for finance in the area faced difficulties due to the socialist to capitalist economic shift that took place in several African nations at that time. However, the narrative surrounding investing in Africa started to change as new financing models emerged and received support from international organizations. The World Bank Group member, IFC, which got involved in Africa's entrepreneurial environment in the 1980s, is one famous example. The African Enterprise Fund was founded by the IFC in 1981 with the intention of supporting the growth and development of SMEs in sub-Saharan Africa. The program opened doors for possible private investors and helped to understand the African business environment. The expansion and development of SMEs in sub-Saharan Africa were successfully fostered by the African Enterprise Fund, AEF. Although firms like the Dutch Development Bank, FMO, have made investments in emerging markets since 1970. A number of renewable energy projects in Africa, notably the Lake Turkana Wind Power Project in Kenya, have received funding from the bank, which places a significant emphasis on sustainable development. In addition, FMO has made investments in a number of other industries, such as telecommunications and financial services. The Kenyan company Equity Bank is one remarkable success story. With a $100,000 grant from the AEF, the bank was initially founded as a microfinance company in 1984. However, the bank expanded its product over time to incorporate conventional banking services as it increased in size and reach. Following a successful initial public offering IPO in 2004, Equity Bank became the first privately held African bank to list on the Nairobi Stock Exchange. In 2007, the AEF sold the remainder of equity in Equity Bank, making a sizable return for its stockholders. Following the African Enterprise Fund's example and learning from its successes, where other international venture capital firms, including Venture Capital International, VCI, and FMO. VCI was established in 1983 with an emphasis on funding SMEs in emerging markets, notably Africa. The company made investments in a variety of industries, such as telecoms and energy, and it had a number of successful exits, such as the selling of its part in Safaricom, a Kenyan telecommunications company. In general, investors' trust in Africa's entrepreneurial ecosystem increased as a result of the African Enterprise Fund and other foreign venture capital firms' successes. Due to their tremendous potential for growth, energy and telecom companies continued to attract the interest of many venture capital organizations across the continent. As technology started to take hold on the continent in the early 2000s, the number of African startups gradually increased. The attention of venture capital firms led to the emergence of several companies in Africa, heralding a new era of investment potential. TLCom Capital was one of the forerunners of venture capital in Africa and established its offices in Nairobi, Kenya, in 1999. It was established by Italian investor Maurizio Caio, one of the first to see the promise of technology in Africa. Early investments were made by the company in businesses like Celtel, a Pan-African telecommunications company that eventually changed its name to Zain, which is now Airtel. HBD Venture Capital, founded in South Africa in 2001, was another early entrant into the African venture capital market. HBD concentrated on making investments in fast-expanding technology firms with the potential for regional or international expansion. The mobile telecoms firm, Vodacom, which was eventually acquired by Vodacom, was one of its significant investments. In order to promote more investment in African businesses, the African Venture Capital Association, AVCA, was established in 2003. The organization was created to advance and grow the venture capital sector across the continent. It offers a venue for networking, idea sharing, and cooperation on investment prospects between investors, business owners, and industry players. Even though there were more venture capital firms in Africa, there weren't many entrepreneurs at the time that were viable candidates for funding, not just entrepreneurs. This changed in the middle of the 2000s when a number of prosperous companies appeared, including the Nigerian e-commerce platform Jumia and the Kenyan mobile money transfer service M-Pesa. These successes changed how the world views African businesses and increased their allure to foreign investors. In fact, the founding of the AVCA marked a crucial turning point in the growth of African venture capital industry. The association's goal included fostering cooperation and knowledge exchange between investors and business owners, as well as promoting venture capital and private equity investments across the continent. The AVCA contributed to the development of trust and confidence in the African entrepreneurial ecosystem by providing a forum for investors and startups to communicate and share ideas. More VC firms started to show interest in African startups as a result. TLCom Capital and HBD Venture Capital are a couple of the pioneering venture capital firms that first established themselves in Africa in the early 2000s. These companies invested in several different sectors, including technology, consumer goods, and healthcare. In addition, businesses like Novastar Ventures, 4DI Capital, and Knife Capital started investing in African entrepreneurs. Even though there were dangers involved in investing in African businesses, these VC firms were ready to accept them in order to gain a competitive edge. They understood the potential of the expanding middle class on the continent and the enormous untapped business prospects it offered. However, investing in Africa's entrepreneurial ecosystem did present some special difficulties, such as subpar infrastructure, unstable political systems, and fluctuating exchange rates. Despite these obstacles, many VC firms persisted in funding African startups due to the likelihood of substantial returns on their investments. The successes of international venture capital firms in Africa, coupled with the growing number of promising startups on the continent, later led to the emergence of homegrown venture capital firms. These firms have been instrumental in fueling the growth of startups and small enterprises in Africa by providing them with the necessary funding, expertise, and networks. Convergence Partner, based in South Africa, was one of the first African venture capital firms to be established. The company focuses on making investment in telecommunication, media, and technology firms in sub-Saharan Africa. For its second fund, the company raised $200 million in 2014, making it one of the biggest private equity funds ever raised in Africa. Other notable African venture capital firms include Naspers Foundry, which was established in South Africa in 2019, with a $96 million fund for early-stage tech startups, and TLCom Capital, which was founded in 1999 and has its headquarters in Nairobi, Kenya. TLCom Capital has made investments in businesses like Andela and Terragon Group. Along with these businesses, impact investing and social venture capital have grown in Africa. These companies seek to have a good social and environmental impact on the areas in which they operate, in addition to producing returns for investors. These VCs include Goodwill Investments and Acumen, which have made investments in businesses including Paga and Nomanini, as well as M Copper Solar and Zueto Enterprises. It's noteworthy to highlight that VC firms are already well known in a number of African nations. For instance, Nigeria established the National Risk Fund PLC in 1987. This venture capital firm was the first of its kind in Nigeria, and it was founded with a significant funding from the federal government of Nigeria via the Raw Materials Research Development Council and some additional shareholder members. However, the company's main aims and objectives were to promote the commercialization of encouraging research results, encourage the emergence of original ideas, and guide the development of regional approaches and technologies. The National Risk Fund PLC of Nigeria was not the only VC firm to start operating in Africa prior to the year 2000. In 1989, South Africa established the first formal venture capital company, the South African Venture Capital Company. The Industrial Development Corporation and a number of commercial banks come together to form the company as a joint venture. The South African Venture Capital Company was responsible for making investments in businesses that had the potential for rapid growth and would advance South Africa's economy. The company have invested in more than 50 businesses since its establishment and has experienced a number of successful exits, including the selling of a stake in MTN, a significant telecommunications company, for more than $1 billion. Over time, nations in Africa other than Nigeria and South Africa also established venture capital firms. For instance, Tunis Valeurs is a private equity and venture capital company that was founded by the Tunisian government in 1995. The Egyptian American Enterprise Fund, EAEF, a $20 million fund established by the Egyptian government in 2000, aims to invest in small and medium-sized businesses in Egypt. These instances show that numerous African governments have taken action to establish venture capital businesses after realizing their significance in fostering economic progress. In addition, the Ghanaian government sponsored the Venture Capital Trust Fund, VCTF, a program designed to finance small and medium-sized enterprises. The Venture Finance Trust Fund Act 2004, Act 680, created the VCTF with the intention of providing long-term finance to SMEs in Ghana. The VCTF seeks to advance innovation and entrepreneurship, boost Ghanaian companies' competitiveness, and generate employment there. The venture capital industry in Africa has undergone considerable changes recently, mostly as a result of technological development. The rise of mobile technologies and the internet has given businesses across the continent new options and has sped up economic development. Technology has been a key factor in promoting venture capital investments on the continent. According to research from Venture Capital in Africa, 90% of all reported VC deals in Africa from 2014 to 2020 comprised tech-enabled companies operating across a range of sectors, including fintech, e-commerce, healthcare, and agriculture. The rise of tech-enabled businesses in Africa has also led to the establishment of new venture capital firms that focus on investing in these type of companies. Among the significant venture capital firms to have arisen recently are South Africa's Knife Capital and Nigeria's Ventures Platform. For instance, Ventures Platform specializes in funding early-stage African entrepreneurs that apply technology to address regional issues. Additionally, the rise of tech-enabled businesses has opened up new business opportunities for African companies, particularly in the digital sector. For instance, in 2019, the multi-country e-commerce platform Jumia made history by becoming the first tech-enabled firm from Africa to list on the New York Stock Exchange. With more venture capital firms wanting to invest in African startups that use technology to tackle local challenges, these changes have changed the flow of investment capital into the continent. As a result, the startup environment in Africa has significantly expanded and more business people are emerging with groundbreaking concepts that might completely change the continent. According to a Brookings Institution study published in 2018, venture deals in Africa achieved a remarkable $400 million invested across 69 deals in 2012 and in 5 years. Both values doubled in watts and numbers with a breathtaking $1.4 billion spread across 139 deals in 2017. This shows that the African startup sector is growing at a rapid pace and is becoming more attractive to venture capitalists. Leading African companies like Flutterwave enjoyed the benefits of the surge substantially. The company, which offers banks and enterprises infrastructure for digital payments, attracted a lot of media attention after raising $170 million in a Series C round in March 2021, becoming valued at over $1 billion and the continent's fourth unicorn. Two US-based investment companies, Avenir Growth Capital and Tiger Global, took the lead in the deal. Another major investment in an African company was made by Tiger Global Investment, which gave $50 million to the online shopping website Jumia in 2012, making it one of the continent's biggest investments at the time. When Jumia's valuation surpassed $1 billion in 2016, it became Africa's first unicorn. The fact that these investments demonstrated the continent's viability as a venue for venture capital investment fundamentally altered the startup landscape in Africa. As a result, more venture capital firms began to concentrate their efforts on making investments in Africa. This increased competition, expanded the pool of potential investors, and improved access to money for African businesses. Going forward, the emergence of artificial intelligence has the potential to make a substantial impact on the African venture capital market, opening up new opportunities and posing new difficulties for both investors and business owners. A number of industries on the continent, including healthcare, agriculture, and finance, are anticipated to undergo significant change as AI technologies advance and become more widely available. AI, for instance, has the potential to completely transform the healthcare sector by enhancing diagnosis accuracy, developing individualized treatment regimens, and lowering healthcare costs. Startups like Curo Medical in South Africa and Helium Health in Nigeria are already utilizing AI to provide patients with cutting-edge healthcare solutions. In a similar vein, AI can revolutionize the agricultural industry by enhancing crop yields, cutting waste, and streamlining supply lines. Startups like AgroCenter in Ghana and Apollo Agriculture in Kenya are leveraging artificial intelligence to give farmers access to real-time data and insights, empowering them to make better choices and increase their total output. Millions of underbanked and unbanked Africans are now able to access and afford financial services thanks to AI-powered fintech businesses. For instance, Nigeria's Carbon uses artificial intelligence to offer rapid loans to both individuals and businesses. And Yoko in South Africa offers small company owners cost-effective payment and point-of-sale systems. Overall, the growing influence of AI on the African venture capital market is likely to open up new opportunities for investors and entrepreneurs who are prepared to adopt the technology and take advantage of its potential to produce groundbreaking solutions to the region's particular problems.